Hello, everybody. So we have a microphone. You going to be the microphone guy, Chris, or you want someone else to do it tonight? We had a volunteer last week because they're really going to talk tonight. I can feel it. They had lots of homework. I bet all the people who really had to work with that didn't come tonight. So, welcome. Who's here for the first time? One, two, and back. Awesome. No problem. Feel free to always just pop in anything here. My name's Jill, so I kind of gave up learning names once it gets to the fourth class. I lose it. I remember Sean. So I can pick on her a lot. So I like to just show the books. And what are my little pictures for today? Did I have this one up last week, too? Mind the Gap? I don't think I mentioned it. Mind the Gap. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Sure. We'll do that. Remind me if I don't get to that. Super. I think we whizzed through the end of that last week, too. So the books we've been looking at, just to briefly show you, apparently I just figured out that the bookstore doesn't have these. So you can order them on Amazon, but we're going to work out a system. They have this one where if we recommend books, then they're going to try to get more copies. But I just like these, so I like to show them. This is the old standby, How to Meditate by Kathleen McDonald for the new folks. It's got literally it is a book of meditations. So the other ones are a little different. And this is my fave. I always show Joy of Living because it just explains the process of how to work with your mind and what's going on. Actually, more about what's going on in your mind. And explains it well with lots of stories and anecdotes if you like that kind of teaching. And he has a lot of anxiety, so if anybody has anxiety, you can relate to a monk. Buddha's Brain is really good for those of you who need to understand what's really going on in the brain and how it's different from the mind and things like that. So this is really good. I always compare this to the book for cooking when it explains what flour does, what an egg does, like the science of cooking for the people who think that way. I see people smiling like, yeah, I know you're that. So, and then Misleading Mind, he came to teach here Karuna Caton. So this is another really digestible book on a Misleading Mind. Anybody have one of those? Nobody? Awesome. Everybody's mind is pure tonight. It'll be easy then. All right, so we're going to do our meditation. We're going to do 9 round again. So for those of you who did it, it'll be a little review. And for those of you who haven't, I just want to show you what we're doing with our, use our fingers. Oh, that's old school. So we're going to use this one. Can you bring the door shut with you as you come in? Thank you. Hi. We're going to take the ring finger. Let's start with the left hand, and I'll just walk you through it, and then I'll do a meditation with you. Where you use this finger because it apparently has a lot of light pressure. Not a lot. It has light pressure. And in traditions, it's apparently the clean finger. We don't need to go into why. So we'll put it on the left nostril and inhale on the right side. Switch, exhale, inhale. That's the way it rolls. 3 times. Right side, inhale, exhale. Both nostrils, inhale, exhale, 3 times. So we'll be talking. We're going to talk about the channels and all that. So just follow along and do your best. And remembering the sitting position, we won't go through it all, but if you are sitting on a chair or the pew, lean forward a little bit so you're not even touching with your back, if that's comfortable for you, so you can let the channels flow nice and smooth. And you can come to the floor. Yeah, good. If you want to do the meditation and go back to the chair, that's always very kosher. All right, so assume the position. While we settle a little bit, I'll read you a little preface on it. You can just begin your meditation by listening to this about 9-round breathing. The 9-round breathing exercise comes from the more esoteric collection of meditation practices contained in Tantra. It is a simple but profound method to clear up the energy channels in the body and thus make the mind more serviceable for meditation. In Tantra, it is explained that there are subtle energies in the body known as winds. The mind is said to accompany these winds, like a rider on a horse. If the winds are serviceable, the mind is serviceable. And 9-round breathing is a way to bring balance to these winds in the body and thus balance to the mind. For us, it is a method to bring the mind to neutral in order to generate a positive motivation for the meditation. Other methods to do this are things like counting the breaths from 1 to 10 or 1 to 21, or just focusing on the breath without counting. This is why breathing meditations like this one can be helpful to practice at the start of one's meditation session. Nine-round breathing is one of the particular methods that Lama Yeshe taught to his students to help prepare the mind for an effective meditation. So it is a practice that was given with the blessings of our teachers and can be used from the beginning stages of meditation all the way through the advanced practices of the highest yoga tantra. So begin by focusing your attention on your breathing, just noticing it. And then use the technique of counting the breaths to settle the mind and bring it to a state of deeper focus and concentration, ready to engage in meditation. Create an altruistic motivation for the meditation session. Think that you're meditating not just for your own individual benefit, but you're taking the time now to meditate and develop your mind to become a wiser and kinder person, able to be of benefit to all beings. So begin by visualizing the three psychic channels or tubes within your body through which the wind energy moves. The channels are round and hollow, the size of a straw, and very fine, smooth, flexible, and luminous. The central channel is blue, and it starts at a point midway between the brows, curves upward and back along the inside of the skull like a handle of an umbrella, and then down along the inside of the spine to a point 4 finger widths below the navel. The right channel is red and runs from the right nostril back, then downward along the right side of the central channel, to end at the point 4 finger widths below the navel. And the left channel is white and also runs from the left nostril down along the left side of the spine to also end 4 finger widths below the navel. For this meditation, imagine that the ends of the three channels join together at this point 4 finger widths below the navel. And then just focus on this visualization for a moment. Now, holding the left nostril closed with your ring finger, very lightly, inhale slowly and fully through the right nostril. Imagine that you're sending the breath all the way down to the end of the right channel. You can switch sides as I read. Imagine that the breath flows from the right into the left channel as you move your index finger to hold the right nostril closed. Now exhale slowly and fully through the left nostril. As the breath leaves the left nostril, imagine that all impurities, such as distraction and mental dullness, are expelled with the breath. So we block the left, inhale right, block the right, exhale left, 3 times. And when you're done with that, do the opposite on the left side, blocking the right, inhaling left, exhaling. Keep imagining all the impurities are being expelled with each breath. That breath cross through the channel and come up and out the other side. in your own time when you finish that one, go to the two, to both nostrils. Sending the air down through the right and left channels. And as you exhale, imagine that the breath is expelled up and out through the central channel. As you breathe out, imagine that you're expelling all the impurities out through the point between the two brows. Do that three times. Feeling that your channels are clean and luminous. And then do again in your own rhythm, beginning with the left ring finger and the left nostril. If at the end of these nine rounds you find the mind is scattered and distracted, feel free when you practice on your own to repeat again and again. And always let the breath return back home, imagining that your breath flows freely through the inner channels of your body. And now dedicate this positive energy and insights to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. Bring your attention back. Anybody enlightened yet? Is that good? Did you guys like it? So, who gave it a shot at home this week? Trying the nine-round breathing? Massive no one. Okay. So then, does everybody know, I forgot to mention last week, does everybody know where to find these assignments online? So under, did you see the classes like when you registered for it? Maybe, not registered, we don't register for this one. Maybe you were looking up information and there's Meditation 101. Does anybody know the heading before that? Like maybe, is it spiritual classes or spiritual program? And then probably Meditation 101 is under there. And then when you click on that, it'll have, should have handouts. So you can print these guys out, all these meditations. There'll be 12 in all when we're finished. And then you can try them at home. So does anybody have any questions about Nine Round at all? The colors, so she's asking since we have the microphone yet, the colors represent body, speech, and mind. So usually white represents the body. No, we start with blue. So white represents body, and red represent, didn't we do white on the right? White on the left? So body, speech, and then mind. And so when we're doing, like, say, Vajrasattva, we do, you know, body, and then we imagine speech, and then mind. And so blue is usually mind. And white is usually body, and red is usually speech. Is that right, Chris? I think that's right. I think it means that here, because you're usually using that kind of purification idea. We'll go with that. Or American flag, you know, French flag, one or the other. Okay. Anything else that came up about Nine Round? It's very ancient, so we talked about that last week in a way that you can kind of trust that it's going to help you. And if you got in the beginning, this is something that pretty much everywhere you go, in retreats, anything within RFPMT Center, people use 9-round breathing. The teachers do at the beginning of almost every meditation. It's just the way that they bring the mind home. So you'll hear it a lot. That's why I think it's good to practice it, to trust that everyone's using it. It's ancient. It's being used now. It's something that really helps calm the mind. You might think of, we mentioned last week too, have you ever taken a little baby and you take their right leg and their left foot and you kind of sing something, I'm sure, trot, trot to Boston, whatever, and you do this. It's supposed to really help their nervous system. I'm not sure actually what it's doing, but I think it's bringing it into balance, because apparently when you crawl, you're wiring your nervous system. So if you do miss crawling, you miss sort of an important phase in your childhood, your developmental stage. So I'm wondering if this 9-round breathing has some similar effect on the nervous system. That's just my guess. It's not from the teachings. But, you know, sometimes when you're working with the nervous system, that's why it settles it down. Even in yoga, we've done something where we stand up and we touch the opposite foot with the back of your hand. It takes a minute to get coordinated with that. But that was literally to just connect that nervous system. Sometimes it, I don't know if women have ever felt that when they're having their cycle, that you sort of turn around and run into a door frame. Have you ever done that? And you just feel like you're out of balance and out of whack. That sometimes the nervous system really does get kind of... And that would be the wind energies he's talking about. So we don't talk about that a lot in our kind of culture, so our energies can definitely become imbalanced. We just usually take medicine for it, right? This is so much cheaper. All right, so homework... I know that the person that was sitting over there that had to deal with the toilet paper roll isn't there. Is she somewhere else? Or did she not come? I don't think she came tonight. Who else had the definitive assignment? Wasn't it you? No? To change the toilet paper roll? Can you get the microphone? So before you speak, let me tell the new people what's going on here. We had the great toilet paper debate, and it's for those who want to go over and those who want to go under. And the whole reason behind it is so that we decide, or we try to become a little looser with things in our mind, that we don't have to have them one way. And I found in life that this is something people are really sticky about. I just talked to a woman yesterday, and she came to my whole 5-week course in another place. And that was her assignment for a long time. I mean, like, that was what she was supposed to do. And I said, so how's it going? And she went, yeah, I have it the way it's supposed to be. I'm like, did you, and I didn't go, did you not listen? She didn't understand anything we were talking about. And the whole idea was that you try to do it the opposite way so that you realize you're not going to die. You're going to be fine. And she just did it so happily. Yep, I have it going the way it should be. So just let it go. Okay. How'd it go?
Mine was the toilet lid up.
Yeah, the toilet lid up.
Yeah. So I left it up. And once I realized I could do that, I turned the toilet paper around just for the heck of it.
Yay, so. In 1 week, look what you accomplished.
Yeah. It was more of trying to break the habit of putting it down.
Yeah.
It's just a habit. So.
Yeah, just that it's no big deal, right?
Nope.
Yeah, that's great. Was it kind of funny?
Yeah, I mean, again, it was more of just like realizing that I did it all the time. So.
Did you find anything else you did in the week because you kind of looked at that you do habitually that...
No, I think just those.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
I thought about switching the one in there, too. So
just to mess it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, who else gave it a whirl? Okay, good. Gave it a twirl, I should say.
I basically tried leaving clothes on the floor. That's kind of my pet peeve, especially in my bedroom. It just drives me insane. And, it kind of spread over into other aspects of life, and I kind of had this realization that I think I was walking around with the expectation that if everything was exactly the way I wanted it all the time, my life would just be perfect, and I realized how irrational that was.
But isn't it true? I really want that to be true. That's what I think, too. It's never happened. So you just did it.
Yes, I just did it, and... I actually did have that realization of what you just said. I realized that if I leave clothes on the floor or dishes on my counter, I probably won't die.
Yeah. Were there rats everywhere?
No.
Okay.
Luckily, no.
No, not yet. We'll see how bad it gets. So we may have to come in and scoop them out. I also organize, so if you get really bad, I can come in and help you with that. So that's funny. What else? Who else had some good fun with that this week? I think they all didn't come back. Okay.
My thing was squeezing the toothpaste
from second.
The center of the tube. I didn't do well with it. every time I tried, I'd like subconsciously flatten out the toothpaste again. So it wasn't a very productive week.
Okay, well that's okay. That's productive that you looked at it. It's productive that you tried. It's productive that you remembered to try. You know, that's fantastic. So did you find any correlation to any other parts of your life that you may have a little tightness to? Or is it only toothpaste?
That's the only one thing I can think of right now. I can't.
Do you agree, Mom? No, don't get into it. That's pretty good, right? If it's only toothpaste, I'll take that. Anybody else want that one? That's okay. My daughter tried to mess with me one time, and this is feeling funny tonight. And she took the refrigerator and the table and something else and put it askew to think she thinks I'm OCD, maybe a little, but not like over the top. And so she, not that there's anything wrong with that. And so she askewed it all, but she did it so much that it was just like somebody had come in and worked on the house and didn't put it back. So it looked obviously weird, right? So I just scooted everything back, and she was like, aha! I'm like, aha, what? The refrigerator's away from the wall like this much. So if you want to mess with me, you have to be smarter than me. You know, you have to just move it a little bit. And I would be like, what's that about? So that was funny. I think that was great that she tried that.
Jill, you should tell her to work with her own mind.
Work with your own mind. Deal with your mother. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, anything else? Anything else that came up last week for anybody with the meditations that everybody practiced at home in their spot that they found and they've made and created? Has anybody created their space yet? Yeah, good. Raise your hand if you've created your space. Good, 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 good. So that's what we encourage everybody to do, is to try to create a spot that's their own so that you really get quite familiar with it. Today I heard someone say, and they kind of looked at their meditation spot, and it was so loving. Like, you want to create this sensation that you can't wait to go there, that it's that special, because then it helps you want to go there and meditate more. You don't want to go, ooh, like when you see your spot, you know? You want it to be something loving and kind and that you don't have any agitation about, that you want to be back there. So you have to start by creating it and then working with it, you know, just piece by piece, little by little, that you have this spot. Okay, anything else? All right. Where are we tonight? All right, so setting up motivation and dedication. So you hear that we do that a lot in class, in the meditation. And the reasons for it are, it's like bookending. So you can think of it like that. So the complete meditation session, we're going to talk about that, since everyone's going to try really hard this week to meditate because you've got one more class after tonight. First, you would do your motivation. And it basically can be anything that you like. It's your own personal thing. And you just open it up as wide as you can, so it starts off with you, why you're there, and then you can just include all beings or your family, whatever you want, but that you make it a little bit bigger than you, but you discover your reason that you want to sit down and do this. Like, why are you here tonight, you know? All the reasons that you guys told me at the beginning that you came can be your motivation, that you want to have a better mind, you want to be kinder, you want to practice compassion, all those things. And then you want to do that for others. You want to spread it out so that it's more available for others. So you kind of start with that. And then calming the mind. So you can do 9-round breathing. Did anybody try counting up and then counting down and then counting up? Yeah, counting down. So you can go 1 to 10, 10 to 1. Counting to 21, seeing if you can't hold your attention, count to 7, you know, whatever works. Count to 3. If you can't hold your attention, what are some of the other counting ones? There's just saying I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. You probably have heard. Who knows Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese? A lot of people listen to him. Have you ever listened to his tapes? No, because he has the best accent. It's a very pungent Vietnamese accent, and he always goes, breathing in, I am breathing in. That gives me a little bit of a giggle. Breathing out, I'm breathing out. I like that. It's beautiful. He is so beautiful. His meditations are just lovely. And if anybody hasn't ever listen to some tapes. They might, I don't know if they're still, yeah, they're probably available at different libraries or things. But he is just gives a very general approach to meditation, so you might like that. Okay, so motivation, some form of calming the mind, whatever works for you, and you can try different ones. And then, oh, they have setting the motivation after calming the mind. Your choice. And then the actual meditation. So we even talked about dividing that in two, where you do your calm abiding, and then you do an analytical portion. So I know Venerable Renee talks about doing a third, a third, a third. So you do prayers and practices. Those of you might not be used to that yet, but that's something you can consider. And then a third calm abiding, and then a third analytical. So that you spend some time. We haven't talked a lot about calm abiding here, but that's the one where you're going to pick something that you consistently use all the time. So it might be a holy object, a statue. I did use His Holiness the Dalai Lama's face. And for years and years, I kind of had it with me, and then I used it as my calm abiding. And then I just learned you should really have something that's the full body of a guru. And then he said, just imagine the rest of the body. And all I had was like a cart. The rest, I just couldn't put it together. I had his head, and then I just like the body. I just couldn't do that for myself. So I just switched and chose a different object. But you can pick the picture of the Buddha. Tara, something that you find a closeness to, and then you want to try to stay with it, and you're trying to recreate a visualization in your mind of that exact thing. And the trick here that I think a lot of beginners may not get is that that's really all you're doing in this one. You're not using it as a time to work on something or to solve a problem or to work with a mind or think about compassion. You literally really are just trying to recreate whatever you've chosen as an object. So that may be a little strange for some of you, but it's the whole purpose is to gain deep concentration, the 9 levels of concentration. And we have I'm not sure if it's a tanka, a painting, the one with the elephant outside on the path. You guys have seen that maybe? And so those are the levels of meditation. So calm abiding has many levels that are scientifically laid out about just the mind gaining concentration. And so then after you do calm abiding, you might break and then do analytical meditation. And then you take that concentration you gained in calm abiding and put it to your analytical, where you've given yourself a topic. So this is more thinking something through in your mind. So, and then at the end of that would be the dedication, where you hope that everything you wanted to do, that it happened. You might assume that you're gaining knowledge. You might just have this nice assumptive quality that I've worked in my mind, you know, I'm bringing it in, and I'm going to gain benefit from this. And then you dedicate it to as many beings as possible. So, yeah. I'll just repeat what you say.
Three-thirds,
you'd come flying in. No problem, thank you. Is it on? Hold it down. Okay.
So you're saying in one meditation session, you should do a third, a third, a third.
You can try that.
It's not three different meditations.
Right.
Okay.
And it's not that I'm saying you have to do that, but it's something that Venerable Renee suggested when he was here. Because many of you may not have prayers yet, you know, that you even know what you're supposed to do. So you can just quiet the mind. That's fine to just do that. But if you're ready to take it up a notch, you can do some prayers and then do the calm abiding, which is an object. Could be the breath. You can just do the breath as your object. And then you stop that one, and then you do analytical.
With prayers, do you mean mantras or?
Yeah, anything that you do. Like, you know, once you go through DB, I don't think anybody's been through DB in here yet, right? You've halfway through it, or did you do the whole thing? No.
I'm going to start.
You're going to start. Okay. I need to put a plug in for that too. So one of the whole modules is developing a daily practice. And usually Shankha teaches that and teaches us how to have a practice. And so some of the prayers are taking refuge and purifying the place and 7-limb prayer and a mandala offering. And they're real short. So if you start to do prayers, it kind of happens naturally where you hear of one and then you do one and then you hear of another and then you have like prayers. So you start off small. Start off so that it's really comfortable. Does that make sense? Okay. one thing I think that's been helpful to me is when you're doing an analytical meditation, say you just were talking about compassion in your mind, and you're thinking about compassion. You could have read a poem, or you could read something from His Holiness or Shantideva, or you could just be thinking about it. You could be doing Tonglen, some kind of giving and taking. But let's say you, you know, it's different than talking about it with someone, because we're in our analytical, or we're in our intelligent mind right now. Well, that's a stretch, but we're in a brain that's active. So when you're meditating, it's different, right? Everybody knows it's a different kind of feeling. So let's say you're thinking about compassion, and something arises in you, and sometimes it can be quite strong, like a can be a sensation. Basically, it's your heart's being moved, you know, and not just like I thought about my friend and I felt for her. Not that kind of thing. It's almost like this feeling of what it would mean if, and I use this analogy. Is anybody a teacher in here? Yeah. So you guys, so when you were young, did you want to be a teacher? No? No. Okay. No problem. So say you, some point along your line, you thought about it in high school maybe, or? Yeah. Okay. And so there's an idea, I want to be a teacher. And then you take courses, and then you go to college, right? And then you graduate, and you get a job, hopefully, and they pay you for it, which is lovely. And then you know you're a teacher. You have this piece of paper that says you're a teacher, but you may not actually feel like it yet, but you don't know you don't. Does that make sense? So do you have any moment when you realize, oh, my God, I'm a teacher? Yeah, and does it usually happen when a student get something like you see in the eyes of some, there's something that happens versus just, yeah, I go to this job. You know what I mean? Do you want to say, is there any moment you had? He's ready.
Like, you know, when the students come to us and, you know, they are somewhere successful in life, and they visit us and they tell us,
oh,
we're doing
yeah.
that, or, you know, you did this for us. So that is the moment of aha.
Yeah.
That's something that we have achieved in life.
Doesn't it kind of feel almost like it's in your body? You know what I mean? Like, oh, it feels really good. You might actually get a goosebump, or, you know, it's just a feeling, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
So that feeling, and everybody knows what I'm talking about, when you have a realization of something, it can be very small. But it's usually like the heart is moved, and then some kind of sensation arises. So in the meditation, and you're thinking about compassion, and it's not usually, seems like it might not be something that's literally, oh, blah, 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 blah. It's more like, huh? You know, it can just be this sensation that you get compassion all of a sudden. It could be that quick, and it can just kind of fade away. But it's almost like it rises, and it's so beautiful. So when that happens, what I've been told is to just stop everything. Stop your analysis and don't do anything, and just abide in that. And completely just chill out and stay right there and let it just be without words, without judgment. Because what we usually want to do, a feeling arises, and then we go, so that means my mother didn't do something when I, you know, some kind of, my father said I was a, some kind of analytical thing comes up. So you stop your analysis and you just feel. And it can be so beautiful. Does everybody kind of have a taste of what I'm talking about? Yeah. And then it'll kind of fade away. Could, if not, maybe you'll stay in ecstasy, but it kind of fades away. And then you just gently come right back. No, like, oh, I want that. Just let it fade away. Go right back to your analysis. So that's what we're, that's beautiful. That would be the goal, is to try to. So the point is, you're getting it on a different level than just thinking about it. And so you knew you were a teacher, which is much different than just graduating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's always a fun way to think about it. All right. So in this motivation that we set in the morning, I can encourage you to try to do this throughout your day. You can do it in different times, like you're getting ready to start a project in the office, or you just enter your office. And some people have done things about putting it into their computer when they turn it on to remind them to set a motivation for the work you're going to do. When I go work for a client, I try to remember to set a motivation for when I walk into their home, and then try to dedicate it when I leave. And this can be very strong practice. It can remind you of why you're doing what you're doing. And another advice that I heard is when you get in the car to go home, let's see, how about you're coming home from work and you're just going to barrel out of the car and walk into the house, and you might have had a stressful day, the traffic might have been awful, and you could have a lot of angst in you, so it's like just take a few minutes to sit in the car and reset your engine for why you want to walk in that door. I think I like these people. You know, revisit. I like these people. Yeah, yeah. I like them. Maybe I love them. If maybe it's the dog, maybe there's nobody, it's just you, but I'm going to walk in my home. And it's now it's time for a different phase of the day. And you sort of reinvigorating your motivation and setting it again, and then walk into your home. And people have said that's helped them immensely. And you can even do it when you get ready before you walk into the office. Like, even especially if you know it's going to be a tough day, I'm going to be fine. I'm just going to go in with the best I can do. And so setting your motivation can be something that can work for you off the cushion. So I think this is one of my favorite things, you know, the tip of the wish thing. It's one of my, do you like that one? I like that too. So one of the first things that our teachers talked about, I remember in DB, oh, let's plug for DB here. Discovering Buddhism is starting again probably October. Do you know, we have a date yet?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right, October. We'll just say that. And it's a two-year course, so I just think it's great that you guys have the opportunity to start from the beginning, so I like to encourage people to look into that. And the next class after this, if you haven't, Buddhism in a Nutshell is great, and then Discovering Buddhism will be a whole 2 years of everything you ever wanted to know. So try that out. Okay, so if you want to go to D.C., and you have a car, and you have gas, and you have the vacation time, everything you have, but you never would have gotten to D.C. if you hadn't actually wanted to go to D.C. I mean, it kind of sounds obvious, doesn't it? But you're not going to be in D.C. if you didn't say, I want to go to D.C. So the whole idea is that everything exists on the tip of a wish. And it's, I get goosebumps thinking about it. The first time I heard it, it was like, oh, that's cool. Didn't think about it again, really. And then the next time, it got a little deeper. And the next time, it was like, oh, my God, everything exists on the tip of a wish. So think about it. Like, you can't get anywhere unless you actually want to. Or you even have the thought to do it. It does sound kind of, does it just sound kind of goofy and obvious? Or is that kind of cool? Kind of cool? Okay. So think about the things that you want to do. And I've heard someone say, if all you say is, I want, put whatever you want after it. We'll use the Jaguar again. I want a Jaguar. Well, it's a strange way to look at it, but all you're creating is the wanting of the Jaguar, not the Jaguar. So by saying, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, you're creating the desire to just want. You ever thought about it like that? I heard that's kind of an 80s thing in the New Age era, but I want, I want, I want to have this. I wish that was, I wish my room was, you know, wish this was like this. And then we just create more of a muddled feeling of wanting things to be a certain way instead of I'm going to get a Jaguar. And then you've put it out there. So that's kind of putting something out there. So that's the Lama Yeshe statement. Everything exists on the tip of a wish. Do you have any more to add to that that was moving to you? He does.
Well, it's kind of off topic, but that has a lot to do with karma. You know, can I talk about that or not go there?
Don't freak them out, but you can go there. Light karma. Karma light.
Karma light, yeah.
It's a good dish.
Karma karma is every thought, every action, every... What's the third one? Anyway, it pretty much solidified for me that whole thing about how can a thought... It like ties the thought to the action.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Ties the thought to the action.
Right, and it ties thought to karma. You can see how thought really is the cause for all karma. Yeah.
That's good, that's good. That makes sense?
And that kind of separates, like if you accidentally step on an ant, you don't even notice it, you're not going to get the same kind of karmic hit that if you saw an ant and said, oh, I don't want this ant to eat my Fritos, and you step on
He's out of here, yeah.
Right, yeah. That's kind of taste of what karma is all about.
Yeah, thanks. That's good. I mean, every action comes from a thought. So that's why thoughts are so powerful, is that the thought is the beginning of the action, because you can't do the action until you think of it. The action doesn't just spontaneously, like I wouldn't just spontaneously slap Chris across the face unless I had a tick or something. had a Christic. So I'd have to want to slap him. And so that's a thought. But if I can control that, I wouldn't. But it's the thought first. Very good. Thank you. Very powerful. A little jig there. Yeah, always forget. Put your phones on. Meditate. All right. So whatever joy there is in this world, this is Shantideva. Whatever joy there is in this world all comes from desiring others to be happy. And whatever suffering there is in this world all comes from desiring myself to be happy. Heavy. It isn't that we're not allowed to be happy. Don't take it like that. But, you know, just the only desiring myself over others to be happy. So whatever desire, whatever joy there is in this world all comes from desiring others to be happy. And whatever suffering there is in this world all comes from desiring myself to be happy. Bug. So we usually take bugs out, and the other people are like, "No, oh my God, they're in the Gompa. Leave them here." Yeah, they get the good. Yeah, he won't eat much. So I don't know. I put this in here. I guess I must have thought it fit well, so we'll go with it. There was a TED talk on the subjunctive clause. Does anybody hear that? Did you, Sean, heard it? That was amazing. Did that change my life? Because I didn't know what the subjunctive clause was anyway. It was like, yeah, subjunctive. No, I don't really know what that is. So English teachers, no? You might know what it is. Who knows exactly what subjunctive clause is? Cool. I'm not alone. You know what it is? Is it familiar, though? Like subjunctive junction, something like that? Feels like it's something from your past. So I'm... Bingo! Say, yeah. She said, if it were right, if it were this, if that did happen like that. So it's a clause that means in the future, it might happen. And I'm really going to worry about it because that's going to help so much. So that's a lie, right? So this guy went to, they were Vietnamese, right? So they went, I'm just going to do a vague assimilation, and Sean's going to go, you'll just nod with me. So they were going to escape, I guess, and they were all leaving Vietnam, and the whole family got in the bus, and the boy wouldn't get on the bus, and the boy was like, I can't get on the bus. And I'm already panicking, thinking, get on the bus, you know, thinking about it. But the whole family, which means a lot of family, just didn't get on the bus with him and said, cool, you know, that's all right, we'll wait for the next one. And it's one of those stories where that bus crashed, and I think, I'm not sure if everyone died, but they said, you know, it was an awful accident. People died. And so that was a story in itself. But they eventually got on the next bus, and he dealt with it and came over. He was, I think, 8. He was young. So he hadn't gone through his formative years yet. So he wanted to go to, well, he was in school, and he was studying things that he hated and was very unhappy. And he wanted to go to his dad and tell him, I don't want to study that anymore. You know, and he was terrified that his dad, what he might think, just all the things that are going to go with that, which is subjunctive. So he's thinking that through. None of it has happened yet. He's just assuming, and he doesn't want to do it. So you work up all this angst. And then he finally goes to him, and the dad said, okay, well, what do you want to study? You know, why don't you do what you want to study? Like, end of story, right? It was just that simple. And he went on to become very happy. But the thing that was quite beautiful is that the subjunctive clause doesn't exist in their culture. Does that make anybody just go, huh? It doesn't exist. Now, the boy learned to do it because he was raised here. But the dad didn't have that mind to say, to think, well, what if you don't do that? If you do this and you don't can't make enough money, what's going to happen to you? He just said, well, just, you know, do what you want to do. I just thought that was amazing. And so we spend so much time thinking about what might happen, and I know I do, what's going to happen with this, what's going to happen with that, which is really quite useless. And then there's other things. Guilt, Geshe-la constantly says guilt, the word guilt doesn't even exist in the Tibetan language. Would you like to have that removed from your language? Yeah. And what about the story about low self-esteem and His Holiness? You heard that? This is a tearjerker. So His Holiness was sitting around the table, and I think it must have been when he first came over, and he didn't know a lot of the words, maybe. So it was, I think, just like 8 or 9 men, and one man referred to himself that he said he had low self-esteem, and His Holiness looked to the translator, was like, you know, what is that word, what does that mean? And the translator explained it, and he was just like, I mean, he didn't know what to think. He didn't have the language to understand what that meant. So just think about that for a second. And then he said, how many other people of you have this thing called low self-esteem? You know, and everybody was like, and he threw his zen, which is his the top part of their robes, over his head and cried. Doesn't that just break your heart a little bit? He didn't even understand what it meant. And we spend so much time in that camp. What if it never even existed in our culture? What if you never even knew what it meant to have low self-esteem? That would be amazing. So I think that's pretty cool. All right, I'll rattle on for a minute, and then we'll do a breakout session. So the end of this, we start with motivation, is dedication. And it's a way of sealing and directing positive energy that one has created during your meditation so that it ripens in positive ways in your life and in the world. So everything you've done in your meditation, you want it to come to fruition, that it is actually beneficial, that it really did do something. And so it's like bringing all this hope to that. It's said to be like it protects the positive energy of one's actions from dissipating or being destroyed. So it's like, what are the analogies? Like dyeing, setting a dye in the cloth. I know that when you dye cloth, I think you wash it in hot water and that sets the dye. I think I have that right. Either way, something that sets the dye. Or coating a painting, like with a sealant. Or hitting the save button on your computer. And just remembering what the goal is. So the dedication reminds you, I want to do this. I did this. Yes, I wanted to do that. So it kind of goes together as a package. And, yeah, we'll talk about emptiness later. And then we talked about the space, a conducive place, finding a quiet spot. Has anybody attempted an altar yet? Yeah? When you're beginning and you're new to everything, you might even have some traditions that are other than Buddhist that are comfortable to you still, and you can put them all up there. I don't think Jesus will mind. I don't think the Buddha will mind. I don't think I put a little Paramahansa Yogananda on mine. Grandma. Yeah, feathers, rocks. You can start with it really organic and then just go as, you know, work with it as you go along. Okay, so any questions about all that stuff? Motivation, dedication. Very quiet class. All right. So the breakout session we did last week, we're going to do a different one. This is groups of 2 or 3, and we all want to make sure we have the right thing we're working on. Discuss specifically any benefits in daily life, so this is not a meditation, in daily life, that you have begun to notice after including meditation in your life. So even if you haven't, you can just think about maybe even having been to this class or, you know, just having started to think about things differently. In daily life, things that you've noticed that have been different specifically, or benefits. Benefits to your daily life after this kind of work. So break out in groups of 2 or 3. Look around the room, make sure everybody's included. And then come back and you're going to report on each other. Is everybody good? Did everybody get a chance to talk? Okay. All right, so microphone time. I can either point or you can volunteer. What did we do last week? Color shirts? Nobody wants to volunteer? All right. So you have to talk on your partner's experience. And just do one partner and then hand the phone. Okay. Microphone.
With Jamie, she basically said it's more of slowing the volume of thoughts and becoming aware of the content of the thoughts.
Good. Jamie, is that right behind?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. That's great. Okay. Just hand it to Jamie. And
great.
So you get hooked into it.
So with, I don't remember your name,
Bradley.
With Bradley, and I'm actually not going to be good at rephrasing it very well. So it was having more awareness of others and thinking more of others and not being as impacted by things that had impacted previously was part of what he talked about.
Good, good, good. Okay. Was it just the two of you?
No.
The third? Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll have to talk about him now.
Rob also kind of had the same thing as me, just kind of developing more compassion and being more aware of other people's feelings.
Yeah, good. Good feeling?
Definitely.
Good. Do you want to add anything?
No.
Okay. Just go up in front of you. Pass it up there.
Starting to Jasmine, and her main takeaway is she drives commutes between Chapel Hill and Raleigh. She's noticed, please welcome.
Welcome to my lane kind of thing?
Welcome.
Good,
that's,
good.
That's been very helpful in helping her with her road rage.
Road rage? Take it down a notch?
Taking down a notch.
Makes your parents happy, I'm sure, to hear about that.
She
no
probably got it from her dad, but.
She learned it from her dad. Okay, how'd your dad do?
So this is Tashar. And he was talking about the setting motivation before and like a dedication and sort of how that's helping sort of block out what he's working on when he's working on it.
Yeah, good. Throughout the day?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Super.
Well, I spoke with Sarah and Nick, and Sarah has a difficult job, and one of the things that she's been able to do is, I think, gain some insight into the way she reacts to negative situations.
Okay.
Helps her calm down in her job.
Helps her calm down. What did Sarah
accept?
Or Nick, what did Nick?
This is Sean.
We all know Sean now.
My mind's
took a blank.
I can't think. Why don't you?
We'll let Sarah speak.
I know you were talking about the welcome to my lane phenomena. And being kind of aware of what was going on for you in particular moments. And Nick was talking about how when you were doing meditation with the last class, it was more calming and more positive, right?
Okay. And did that transfer to your daily life then?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to just go over. That's okay. You could still talk.
Oh.
What did your partner experience? What's her name?
Well, she hasn't meditated before. It's Dawn.
Oh, that's right. But, well, okay, I guess you're right. You can't really. That's your point. I'm not getting the point. Did you guys talk about anything?
Well, yeah, trying to be better people and respecting people's feelings more versus the me.
The me, okay.
More about the you.
Okay, cool.
Funny because I think you always think about other people. So one of the things she said was clearing her mind of everybody else's problems. Everybody always kind of divulges to her, so she can kind of just relax her mind. So
and yeah,
this is Kim.
Kim, that's an important. That's hard to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a hard time with that myself. Yeah. Okay. When you figure it out, you come tell me how to do that. Okay. Go up. Yeah.
So Andy had mentioned that Andy, just in the grocery store, it kind of helped her remain calm and not get so tense.
Good. Grocery stores can be difficult sometimes.
Kevin said that he can relax more and doesn't take small things so seriously anymore.
Very good.
It doesn't upset them anymore.
Like brownies and things. Those with the small stuff. You put a comment in the meditation, in the, yeah. You mentioned grocery store yourself, right? That's what's funny.
Okay. It's John and Sanjana behind me. And John talked about the sentient beings and how he's looking at, you know, all organisms as having the right to live and how that's kind of more compassionate to humans and how, you know, if I'm going to worry about this bug here, then I need to worry about this actual human walking around. And also the what he learned in Buddhism in a nutshell, thinking about you dying at 6 o'clock in the afternoon and this, how are you going to spend your last day?
Yeah.
And that's put things in perspective. And Sanjana, she says she's tried it before in the past and she's, you know, hasn't done it for about 3 years and she wants to get back there because I think she liked where she was when she was meditating and she's trying to release some anger and some negative feelings and that this is putting her where she wants to be.
Good. So. Good stuff. Want to go that way? Do you have anything that you want to add?
No, I think.
Oh, yeah, you got to speak. Got to speak for her. Yeah, right.
Well, for Liz, it's about being able to take an extra 30 minutes before her day starts.
Good.
Kind of the rat race starts, but also finding a space where she's not being interrupted by a spouse, you know, closing dresser drawers and things like that.
Oh, so trying to find a space.
Yeah,
is that what you mean? Trying to find a good space.
And
It can be tricky.
To try just to calm the mind before the day starts.
Yeah, good, good, good.
And also with Sanjana, about it's helped her increase her self-esteem.
Awesome. Very good. Okay. Do you want to go, you guys? Okay.
When I was speaking with San, his biggest thing was it helps with focus at work and also being more positive when he runs into issues at work.
Good. That can be helpful. Probably worth more money now, right? You should ask for a raise.
So for Jim, says that it helps him catch thoughts that arising, like when people text him off, he can catch that.
That's great.
Just let it
go. So you catch him before they even.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really big deal.
Yeah.
Even after you say him, being aware of him is good, but catching him before is even better, right?
We actually didn't do names.
Didn't do names.
What was your name?
You can whisper now.
D.
D. Okay.
So D talked about just bringing mindfulness to everyday activities, like being in the shower and paying attention to the small things, the scents, the sensations. And I actually agreed that...
Well, I'll let you talk.
Jeremy.
And Jeremy was talking about like doing everyday things like dishes and whatnot instead of focusing on how much he hated the task, which I do too. you know, just actually being there and feeling the sensation of the water, et cetera. And we talked about how understanding that they're just thoughts. I know I said not hooking myself to the thought. I think that's something that we agreed on.
And good.
What's your name?
Michelle is, this is her first time here, so she hasn't meditated. So.
Right. Great. Do you want to add anything, Michelle? Okay. Way in the back.
Hi, Elizabeth. Yeah, I probably didn't catch it all quite right, but I think Elizabeth said she was a little nervous because meditation brought to mind all the bad things she was doing.
It gets worse.
Just
before
aware
it gets better,
that.
Right?
We all pretty much commiserated on that. And Mandy had mentioned something that we learned in Buddhism in a nutshell about being aware of people you like and you don't like and people you're neutral about. And
equanimity.
Yes. And so there was someone at work that she, you know, didn't hate, but just like, you know, what's the deal? So she went in and decided, I'm just going to try to look at it from a different perspective. Maybe there's other things I don't know about. And she said it made her think differently about him and actually noticed some good things about
awesome.
This man. That was nice.
Okay. Do you want to speak for her?
No one wants to speak. So.
And how was yours?
I had some of the same thoughts, but I also had something happen that I thought was interesting. There's been a project at work I've been thinking about doing for about 2 years, and I just got down to doing it because it just kind of clicked in. It was more of a focus type of thing, a concentration. So
just going to do it instead of it eliminating what's bothering you, which is like things hanging over your head.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. Yeah. Good stuff. Just go straight across.
Okay. Hi. The two women I was speaking with actually left.
Oh. but no, don't take it personally.
Yeah. They just mentioned very quickly that they came here with their friend and they thought it would be interesting to try to find a way to stop the never-ending chatter that we have in our heads. So that's kind of what they mentioned they were looking for.
Okay. And how was yours?
Mine is I'm here basically to become more aware of the connection that we have as like human beings with our thoughts and our emotions. How they're all correlated to basically our spirits, you know what I mean? Like, just to try and understand more about what emotions are about and what we're thinking and how they're all kind of related.
Related, yeah. Thank you. How it's all related. You guys going to skip?
Yeah, I'll skip.
Being shy, okay.
Well, we kind of jumped on Chris, and so... Marion's been a long-time meditator, and I think it's just she talked about a general mindfulness, and we've read Thich Nhat Hanh's book on mindfulness and the walking meditation and the washing dishes meditation. And Chris, interesting enough, we got to talking about emptiness and the lack of inherent
emptiness.
Existence and how things are parts. And so we kind of got...
We got off.
We got off on a lot of things, but it was fun.
Chris, do you need to speak to anything that they discovered, or did you? Okay. Is that everybody? Good. Thank you.
Well,
you got one more?
Yeah.
One more.
Is this still working?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with Steve, when he was talking about it, is that he's gained greater detachment and emptiness because in his work, he deals with a lot of people that make up stories to cover themselves. And so he's not as annoyed.
Good.
When that happens. And with Chris, he mentioned about how there was a point where he remembers in particular, it was a warm summer day. And it just had this sudden realization that all sentient beings...
Sentient beings.
I work with buildings all the time, so sorry. But beings had so supported him to get him where he was that he realized that there it just makes no sense not to have lots of empathy and compassion for all other sentient beings.
Sentient.
Okay, that's it.
Awesome. That's great. That was fun. Did everybody kind of get a little more understanding about what we're doing here? Good. One thing that occurred to me back in the corner, like something we have to do, and we're washing dishes. You guys were talking about that. And I heard somebody say, and I think it's really helpful, is if you... So on one end, Geshe-la said yesterday or Sunday, if you're going to eat cheesecake, just eat it and enjoy it. Don't eat the guilt with it, you know? Just eat the cheesecake and just be there with the cheesecake and eat it. It's not like don't add anything else to it because he doesn't even understand why we would feel guilty about eating it. And I think so many people eat with guilt. It's crazy, right? So if you've made the decision you want to eat it, enjoy it. And on the other end, I'm adding to this, if you've got to pay a bill, you know you're going to pay it. It's a car payment, Progress Energy. Say it's Progress Energy. Pay it with joy. Pay it with gratitude. Pay it with thank you for this energy. You know, without it, I wouldn't be able to do what I can do. So, like, if you're going to pay it anyway, why be hateful about it? Or hate it, or just, I can't stand to pay the bills. Really, it's quite an amazing practice if you just pay them with joy. That was, I think, a Venerable Tendrin. Do you remember her talking about that one time? And it's hard to remember to do that. But you could add little love notes in the bottom, but we don't write checks anymore. But you could add them in the memo. Thank you for the energy, dude. Okay. Anything else? You guys aren't the anything else kind of people. Some classes are like, yes. Okay, expand on the group's experience with stories from lamas and yogis and other realized beings who demonstrated in their lives the beneficial effects and ability to control the mind. So, have you guys heard stories about monks and lamas and people who do amazing things? A lot of times people, has everybody heard the lamas sitting in the snow? Kind of, a lot of people have heard that. They ask a bunch of monks to meditate, and they did. I think they were doing Tummo or maybe a inner heat, inner fire meditation, and they just I don't know if they wouldn't have put snow on it, but it was something to do with the snow. Anyway, it just melted. You know, like they weren't cold. They were completely able to control their bodies by raising the heat. And the one I love the most is, let's see, what's it called? I think it's just called Disturbing Emotions by Daniel Goleman, the guy who wrote Emotional Intelligence. A lot of people knew that. And I just listened to it recently, so it's like new to me, but it was written a long time ago. And so they took a monk, and they hooked him up to everything, did all the stuff you can do, MRIs, and put him in the, that's an MRI, right, when you go in the tube? Is that the MRI? And then just all the electrodes and studied his brain waves and did everything. Well, it turns out that is Venerable Rene, who we actually know from here. He came once, and he had been on retreat with us, so it was kind of cool. They named him in the story to protect the rights of the innocent, Lama Osir. But if you ever read that, it's amazing. The first half of the book is all about all the things. And he went into the MRI just like, oh, it was a lovely experience. He's French. Can I go back in? It's like a little vacation. He's so amazing. So the one thing they did that was so amazing with him, they wanted to see if they could... it's easy to see that we have disturbing emotions that arise when something happens. But if it's like, I don't know, like with me, I'm very jumpy. So if something happens, I kind of, like when your water bottle, you know, I jump. And it does mean I have a certain level of tension in my body. So they shot a bullet by his head to see how he'd react. Not only was there nothing, which is amazing right there, right? There's an indicator if we don't like something, in it, which is pretty much like this. I've been told that I can do that quite well. I don't know what it is, but apparently I can look at people with a way that they don't want to see again. So if we don't like something, apparently we have a definitive way. We scowl or we just bring our eyebrows in. Not only did he do that, but he did a little like the delight eyebrows that go up a little. It was barely perceptible. But it was like, oh, he said it could have been like a sound of a bird or something lovely. Like, wow, this guy, and he is amazing when he's just amazing. And so what he's saying is there's no difference to him. He's not putting any judgment on anything. Sean's eyebrow just went up. Yes. Here comes the microphone. Hold on one sec. This is so the people at home can hear you.
I mean, the shooting of the bullet. I know it's a little extreme, and I'm sure that's not a test everybody goes through.
Right.
But I mean, it's dangerous. How does that help when you react that way?
You're talking about instinct.
Shouldn't you just
get instinct
out of the way?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I mean, I know what you're saying. Like instinct helps save us.
Yeah.
But he's saying it really is just the point of not being fluxed by things. Is flux the right way to say that? Not being flustered. Not being disturbed. It doesn't really make sense when you think about something dangerous happening. But he probably, I don't know what he would do. But I think I would like to see him in certain situations like that we experienced, like with my 13-year-old. I like to just watch. And she's still talking about metal music. I'd like to see Renee just go. He'd probably say, oh, tell me more. What is this Aussie person? And she would go right on. So, but that's the point, is that nothing, the difference between a bird flying by and a bullet flying by, he doesn't have a sense of one is right, one is wrong, one is scary, one is not, one is this, one is that, one is this, da, 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 da. So, and that's, I think, what we have going on in our minds, right? Does it feel like that? I don't like this orange juice. I mean, everything we do is just judgment, judgment, judgment. And so, that would be, let's make that the homework for the week. Think about how many times that you judge something. And it's not that it matters, really. It doesn't seem like it's important. But try to figure out in your mind what it's doing to your mind to constantly judge something. How is that affecting your mind? How does that feel? We're so used to it that we're not aware of it. So see if you can just raise a big hunk of awareness up about, oh, my God, I'm judging all day long. And don't worry, like the girls in the back that said things are a little more disturbing. Because when you start to meditate, sometimes it's just like, junk, junk, everywhere I look, it's, You know, it feels like you're just all of a sudden aware. So don't, you're aware of everything, which means pretty much for me would just be aware of the junk. So don't worry about it because it's just simply you're just looking at it. You're finally looking at it. But it's the state of mind that we always have. So you have to look at something, everything exists on the tip of a wish, to be able to change it and to be able to be okay with it and be okay with it. It's okay that the stuff is uncomfortable. It really is. There's a bullet. There's a bird, and it's just what it is, and it doesn't have to have anything put on it. Does that kind of sound fun, like something you can get a hold of? Good, okay. So if we can do that, we can keep our mind on a subject longer because we won't be so distracted all the time. I think we're distracted by every little thing that goes on. And so the idea is that we can place that mind and be very comfortable in our own skin because we won't be letting lights and flashy things and shiny. We won't be distracted by that. Let's see, analysis. So let's do a meditation on purification of light. This is a lovely one. So assume the position if you want to get to the middle of the floor. If you are sitting on the floor, change the legs a little bit maybe, or, you know, move around some just to refresh it. Good job, girls. They're coming up. Come on. All right. Allow your body to relax. Sink down into your spot. Sometimes we mention gravity is holding you here. Without gravity, you'd fly off the seat, so settle into it and let your body settle down. Focus your attention on your breathing. Just breathe nice and natural. You can use 9 round or counting the breath. So bring your mind to a state of deeper focus and concentration and create your motivation. Think that you're meditating not just for your own benefit, but you're taking the time to meditate and develop your mind to become wiser and kinder, to be of benefit to all beings. Start by focusing your attention on your breath, breathing normally and naturally, focusing on the complete duration of each inhalation and exhalation. As you exhale, imagine that all your negative energy, past mistakes, distorted conceptions, disturbed emotions leave your body with the breath. And visualize this negative energy as black smoke. Just send it out into space where it disappears completely. Visualize this repeatedly. As you breathe out these negativities again and again, feel confident that you are gradually freeing yourself from all traces of negativities, faults, sickness, or delusions. As you inhale, imagine that all the positive energy in the universe enters your body with the breath in the form of pure, radiant white light. Visualize this light flowing through your nostrils, down into your body, and into every part and corner of your body, pervading every cell, every atom, and every organ. Your body gradually becomes clearer and clearer, lighter and lighter, more and more transparent. You feel more and more relaxed, light and blissful. Keep visualizing this over and over again. Pure white light flowing in. Breathing out the black smoke of problems, illness, negative energies. Breathing in the white light of purifying, blissful, good energy. Get distracted, simply observe the distractions without judging or getting involved. And even imagine they too transform into black smoke. Just breathe them out into oblivion. Now dedicate all the positive energy you've created through this practice to becoming better and better, more peaceful, bringing peace and well-being to others in every moment of every day. Did you like that one? You look like, yeah. That's a good one. That it feels very cleansing. The other variations of that are color coming from within. You can imagine color coming from within, just using different colors to cleanse. You can imagine waterfalls, like you're just sort of letting a waterfall come over you and cleansing it. And I've done one before about kind of imagining you're laying in the ocean, but not in it, just your legs. And as the waves go back out, they sort of pull the negativities out. And then the freshness comes in and washes over your legs. And then you can just imagine that back and forth. All right. We have 6 minutes left. Is there anything else anybody wants to talk about? Good. Oh, microphone boy. I'll say it. Oh, yeah, the list of things. Good. So this was for distraction or no?
No, what is that last time? What is the new mind is agitated?
Agitated. So, oh, both of them, distraction or, okay. Do you want me to just read them over? Okay. So if you feel in your meditations that you become distracted, focus more firmly on the breath to calm the mind. So even during the middle of your meditation, if you've moved to another object, you can just go back to the breath if you get agitated or distracted. If you're using visualization and say it's a Buddha, that you've got a statue maybe, you imagine it's very heavy and very small and let it settle. And that'll bring the energy down. Instead of making it really big, it kind of takes the energy out. remember the seed? You imagine a small seed at the level of your navel, the top half white and the lower half red. It gives you something very specific to meditate on. So this one was on the sobering subject. So you can use death or impermanence or suffering of yourself or others to kind of bring the energy down if it's kind of overexcited. Not down in a negative way, just bring it, lower it. Check your posture. Your head may be lifted and you might be kind of, energy might be going up this way, so kind of lower it. And then the light might be too bright in the room, so you can lower the light. And the last one was just really be patient and easy with yourself. If it's distracted, it's okay. It's very important for beginners to hear that. It's perfectly fine. What did I say in the beginning? You can't do this wrong. So don't worry about it. Whatever comes up is just simply your meditation. It's okay. So if you're drowsy or you just feel kind of dull, sleepy, check your posture. Your head may be dropping too far forward and your spine may not be straight. So kind of lift up and then you can open your eyes just a little bit and let some light in. You can change the light in the room if it's too dull, too dark. Now take that same seed and shoot it up through the center of your body, out the crown of your head. Imagine it opens and your mind unifies with the vast spaciousness and light. That's just fun to even say, so you can try it. And then reflect on something joyful. So if it feels a little heavy and dark, think of something kind of happy. In the 80s, there was a commercial of the puppies rolling over the little boy. I think it was a Coke commercial. Oh, it was beautiful. So just think of something fun. Check your mind for depression. Just see if it actually is feeling kind of down and try to engage in something, a meditation that would counteract that state. So even if you're aware of it, it's helpful. If you think I'm just feeling a little dark right now, try to add something to it. And then get enough sleep. Sometimes you might actually just be sleepy. Did you miss any of those? You got them? Well, was it the bare attention? Do you guys remember the bare attention meditation? Who remembers that? You remember that? Because I think that's the one. No, that's not. Body scanning. That was it. Go back and look up the handout for body scanning. And they talk about first you start at the base of your body and you're just aware of that energy. And then you bring it up. And then you're aware of that energy. So you were supposed to try to find the difference that you felt when the energy was down here and when it was up here. So if in your meditation you feel distracted, it might be that your energy is just literally up here. And it's kind of, you can find way, I mean, is it literal? I don't know. You know, to let the energy come down. But this is something I used to just say in yoga. It's kind of silly. But you imagine an egg cracked on the top of your head. And it works. Can you feel it? Like, and it just lets the energy just come down, 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 down. I can feel that in my mind when I get too wound up here. And so you can consciously just try to bring it down. They say even with children, you can put your hand in the back of them like you touch their head, you know, sometimes, and you just sort of bring it down their spine, and it's supposed to kind of take the energy down. Have you ever walked into a room when a woman goes, looks you up and down? Maybe not a guy, but another woman. You walk in the room and a chick goes, check that out. That's supposed to, like, kind of rob you of your energy. It takes it up and takes it down. That's old stuff. But it all kind of goes together, doesn't it, when you think about energy? It's interesting because it can come up and come down. Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so her question was, in her motivation, she gets a little you get a little critical, or you start to feel critical because you want it to be for all beings, but then you're thinking of yourself. You tell yourself you're not capable of being altruistic. Okay. Well, let's break that down. we don't want to leave you feeling like that. When we think of all beings, are you a being? Oh, you are? All right. So you start with yourself. And don't forget that when you think of all beings, you're one of them, and you can be the first one that you think of. It's okay. You're thinking, we usually start with like, I kind of say, may this meditation be beneficial to my mind and to the minds of all beings. And so I'm doing it because I want to have my mind be tame. So it starts off with yourself. Yeah. And yeah, that's so okay. You hear it, right? You got it. It's okay. It's really okay. Because you can't help anybody else if you're a bag of mess. So it's the mask. It's the oxygen mask on the airplane when they say put it on. You know, and we always wonder, why do we have to put it on ourselves first? Shouldn't we save the child? Well, you can't do anything if you're out of oxygen. You can't help anybody else. So you really do have to try to bring yourself up. If you're depressed and miserable, you're not going to be very beneficial for everybody. So you really, really want this meditation to be beneficial to you. So it's great. And just start with that and let it well up and be perfectly great and big and wonderful. And then it kind of raises your heart open, you know, makes it open up, and then think, and because I'm going to be doing better, may that just like the mere idea, the minute you sit down, no, before you sit down, when you thought about coming to class, like when did you think about coming to this class? Okay, so today's Tuesday, maybe Sunday. So since Sunday, you've been changing the world. Mind blow. Yeah, because you knew you wanted to come, and so you've been putting energy towards it a whole time. And now you're here, and you've worked on your mind for this whole time. And then when you leave, hopefully what you've learned in here, it's going to kind of make you maybe a little happier, a little more peaceful. You've talked tonight about how it's going to benefit. That is what's beneficial to other beings. But you have to do the work, right? So enjoy it and be like, I'm going to do this work. I think she got it. She's like, I got it. Stop talking to me. No. Good. Is that everything? So let's dedicate. Let's say that everything we did tonight and the moment you all thought about coming to class, so if those of you who've been coming the whole time, this whole thing, when you planned on it, you've been earning the merit and the desire to work on your mind has been awesome. Those of you just popped in, fantastic. And so everything we did tonight, all the talking and the listening and the working on problems and sharing with each other, we hope that it has been beneficial to our minds and the minds of all beings. And then we go out into the world. Everyone will benefit. Go team. Okay. Next week, last one.